Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A Wake County man is held on no bond, charged with killing his sister and seriously injuring his mother. What police communication reveals about the attack?
Plus, a historic vote on Capitol Hill as Republicans vote to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Why some say the vote was an exercise in fertility.
And it's a sea of red lining the streets of Kansas City, Missouri, as Chiefs fans gather to celebrate the Super Bowl champions.
I'm Ken Smith here in the WRAL Live Center. Just a short time ago, Durham school leaders wrapped up a news conference. It was also the first time we were hearing from the interim superintendent, Katie Moore, in person. She quickly made the point, if you can see from video that we obtained here, that this is a temporary gig. It's something that she will be dealing with, just day-to-day operations on the board as the board processes its information in terms of finding a permanent superintendent. She was also asked about schools having to make up days as a result of the recent sick outs. Several schools had to be closed on several occasions. Moore says the district is close, but it's not to the point where students will have to make up days. Now, here's the thing. When someone asks, well, how many days are left in terms of for that to start happening, she says one or less. So it could be if another sick out happens, they could start eliminating teacher work days or maybe student holidays. Monica Casey was at that news conference. She will have a live report coming up at 12:30.
Ken, thanks for that. Another big story we're following this noon. A Wake Forest man is charged with killing his sister and seriously injuring his mother. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We first broke the story during our 9 o'clock newscast, and we've spent the morning reviewing police communication. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us with what they reveal. Chelsea.
Yeah, we should mention, though, that Wake Forest police say that deadly stabbing and assault happened in this home behind me here on Polanski Drive. We did go to the door earlier this morning, and a woman did answer. But obviously, as you can imagine, she was very choked up and highly emotional about this tragedy that has happened inside their home. Now, we should mention court documents show 20-year-old Edmund Eady was charged with the murder of his 24-year-old sister, Nyla. His mother, Dina, was also assaulted, according to Wake Forest police, with a knife. So he then again is also charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. As you mentioned, we've been going through some of the broadcastified traffic, radio traffic from this morning. Take a listen to some from just before midnight last night.
There's another patient here. She's got a life-threatening to her hand. I'm evaluating her now.
And we're working to learn right now the condition of Dina Eady, the mother who police say was injured in this stabbing. We should mention that Edmund Eady, the son and the brother, is being held right now in the Wake County Detention Center under no bond. He will go before a judge for his first appearance tomorrow afternoon in Wake County.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live for us this afternoon. Thanks, Chelsea.
We're also following a volatile situation in Washington, D.C. There were three officers who were shot while serving an animal cruelty warrant. The shooter began shooting from inside the home. This is a live picture right now, a couple of blocks away from that scene. The three officers who were hurt are all expected to survive and recover. A police spokesperson says one of the officers was saved by his bulletproof vest. A fourth person was hurt but not shot. This all started around 7:15 this morning. That person is still holed up in that house. When the officers tried to enter the home, that person started shooting from the inside. Still an active scene. We'll continue to update you as we learn more. Today marks 6 years since the school shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School that left 17 people dead in Florida. Although the building where it happened is still standing, it is scheduled to come down this summer. It was preserved for years because of gunman Nicholas Cruz's trial and then because the defense team, Scott Peterson, the former resource officer accused of failing to confront Cruz, requested that it remain intact. Some say tearing it down will provide closure, while other parents say it should remain standing to serve as a lesson about school safety.
It is the busiest day of the year for florists. They are up early getting arrangements ready for people to help celebrate Valentine's Day. WRAL's Laura Levine checked in with Fallon's Flowers this morning, who said they are expecting a very busy day. Love is in the air here at Fallon's Flowers. They're expecting to service about 1,200 customers today. Yesterday, they helped about 1,000. So, yes, if you haven't received and picked up those flowers yet, you better get to it. Now, many shoppers have plans to use the holiday and their wallets to show how much their loved ones mean to them. The National Retail Federation estimates Americans will spend about $25.8 billion on the holiday this year, just a tick down from $25.9 billion last year. Valentine's Day spending peaked at $27.4 billion back in 2020. The National Retail Federation found 53% of consumers intend to take part in Valentine's Day festivities. And of those celebrating, about 86% said they will use their money on gifts for significant others. However, a small percentage of consumers will open up their wallets for people other than their significant other, like family members, at around 56%. I spoke with a general manager here at Fallon's Flowers who says they have such a great variety of arrangements.
There's a lot to choose from, a lot of different price points, everything from, you know, $20 to $1,000. So, you know, we're here depending on how much their Valentine means to them or how big of trouble they're in. We can help them.
They also have about 40 delivery drivers on hand. We saw them loading up the trucks and starting to roll out at 6:30 this morning. I did ask Mr. Campisi if he had any concern about the strikes today with other companies working with him, such as DoorDash, and he said that they will cross that bridge when they get there. However, they feel prepared. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
And First Lady Jill Biden is showing America some love this Valentine's Day. The White House is decorated with a giant card from the First Lady and a box of giant candy conversation hearts. The cards read, Happy Valentine's Day 2024, XOXO Jill, and a box of candy hearts with the White House on the front spilling in onto the lawn. This year's display includes hearts with sayings like, I heart you and Joe and Jill.
For the first time in more than a century, a sitting cabinet member is facing impeachment. The House voted along party lines to advance two articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, both over his handling of the southern border. NBC's Ryan Nobles details this Republican-led effort and the Democrats' chance to regain power in Congress.
This morning, a major shakeup in Congress and possible power shift in Washington. Democrat Tom Suozzi flipping a seat vacated by Republican George Santos.
We won!
After the scandal plague, Santos left following a federal indictment. Republicans were already struggling to pass legislation. Now they can only afford to lose two votes.
This race was fought amidst a closely divided electorate.
The closely watched race, also potentially a preview of how Democrats could try to win the House and even the presidency. They pursued his opponent, Mazie Pillup, on abortion, sure to be a touchstone issue this year. And Suozzi also focused on immigration, calling for harsher policies at the border as New York deals with an influx of migrants, while also attacking Republicans for their efforts to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas.
You want to fix the border? You're not going to fix it by impeaching the secretary.
But hard-right Republicans have stayed focused on that effort.
The yeas are 214 and the nays are 213.
Successfully impeaching Mayorkas last night. House Speaker Mike Johnson embarrassed 1 week ago when the vote fell short, taking a victory lap.
We're happy to get the job done.
The GOP accusing the DHS chief of willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and a breach of public trust over his handling of the migrant crisis. But some Republicans admit it won't do much to change the situation at the border.
How does that fix the problem at the border?
Who said it was going to fix the problem?
President Biden saying history will not look kindly on House Republicans. The articles will now move to the Senate, who will hold a trial. But conviction and removal from office are unlikely, something even Republicans like Senator Kevin Cramer concede.
Obviously dead on arrival. I mean, it's the worst, dumbest exercise of and use of time in a time-constrained environment.
It's Ryan Nobles reporting. Want to give you a quick glimpse of how the stock market is responding to yesterday's major slide. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 51 points this noon, although a couple other major indices are in positive territory. The NASDAQ is up 43 points right now. The S&P 500 is up 18.
The House of Representatives honored longtime public servant with the highest award of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society. Cheryl Johnson served as the 36th clerk in the House's history. The society selected Johnson for her leadership during two of the most contentious events in congressional history, the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Johnson also acted as the presiding officer of the House during the race to elect Kevin McCarthy as Speaker.
This award will forever inspire me and make me know that as long as I shall live, I am committed to freedom and democracy.
Johnson was praised by both Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy for her ability to keep the House moving. She stepped down as clerk last June.
Today is Ash Wednesday, and one local church offered up ashes to go. Christ the King Lutheran Church on Walnut Street in Cary again offered its ashes to go service this morning. People were able to drive through and get a blessing until 9:30. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent for Christians. It's a 40-day period of reflection and preparation ahead of the Easter holiday.
It's great to see people just come through and to just share with them that God loves you no matter what.
The ashes on the forehead in the shape of a cross symbolize the need for God's grace and mercy. On-site worship services followed this morning at 11, and another is set for 6:30 tonight.
Next at noon, a car plowed into the emergency room entrance of a hospital in Texas. Who was killed and the number of people that were hurt?
Also, the moment has gone viral, and now the apology. What Travis Kelce is saying about the Super Bowl push seen around the world.
Plus, Durham Public Schools has called a meeting to announce its interim superintendent, what she plans to address first. Elizabeth.
And it's a beautiful Valentine's Day. Lots of sunshine out here. It feels comfortable in a sweater if you're looking to go out with your sweetheart this evening. Temperatures will be dropping into the 40s pretty quickly. I'll show you where we're headed tonight and the warm temperatures that will be around for the next few days.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, former President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, says he will not join the administration if Trump is reelected. Kushner was a senior advisor in the previous Trump White House. Now, during that time, he helped negotiate the Abraham Accords, which normalized Israel's relations with the United Arab Emirates, as well as Bahrain. The former president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, Kushner's wife, made the same decision a couple of years ago, saying she would rather focus on her family and private life. She, too, was part of the Trump White House. And, of course, any new developments in this case, we'll keep you updated here in the WRAL Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. And a verdict in the $370 million civil fraud case against former President Donald Trump is expected by Friday. The highly anticipated ruling will cap a trial that started October 2nd and included testimony from the former president and his three oldest children. The judge has already found that Trump and his executives engaged in fraud. He now needs to decide on the issue of intent and what penalties Trump and his company should pay. And in less than 2 hours, the state Supreme Court is expected to hear the case of Chad Copley. He is the Raleigh man convicted of killing a 20-year-old man in his front yard. Chad Copley was sentenced to life in prison after shooting Corin Thomas as he walked outside Copley's home back in 2016. Thomas was leaving a house party at another home at the time. Copley claimed that he heard a disturbance in the front of his house and was trying to protect his family. The State Court of Appeals overturned Copley's life sentence in 2019, ruling that it was tainted by the prosecutor, implying that racism was a factor.
A vehicle crashed into an emergency room entrance in Austin, Texas, killing one person and injuring five others. One of the injured people is a child who has life-threatening injuries. NBC's Morgan Chesky shares a firsthand account from one of the people inside that emergency room.
Flames and smoke billowing through the halls of a Texas hospital after a car crashed into the emergency room at St. David's North Austin Medical Center.
We're going to be out checking for patients and injuries right now.
Police say the driver died at the scene and five others were injured, including two children.
I got a white Acura that drove through the entrance to the civilian side of the emergency room.
In the aftermath of the crash, the Austin PD initially writing on X that this incident does not appear to be an intentional act, but their investigation remains ongoing.
The Austin Police Department has vehicular homicide detectives on the scene, and they are investigating the cause.
Hospital officials say patients who were already inside the ER when the crash happened were sent to other facilities for care, and that no other departments at the facility were impacted.
It felt like I was watching a movie.
Stephen Hughes says he met his wife, Michelle, inside the ER before she was admitted to the hospital for a surgical procedure. Just a short time later, Hughes says he heard loud noises and went out into the lobby. He recorded this video to show his wife what he witnessed.
Down there, I'm thinking that maybe there was an explosion of some kind. I see a car embedded into the ER lobby area. So the tires were spinning, causing tire smoke, and it started to fill up the area pretty quickly.
Hughes tells us the hospital staff sprang into action and began administering first aid.
It was amazing how quickly they responded. I would say they were there within a minute or two after the crash.
That was Morgan Chesky reporting. The emergency department entrance there is closed to patients being brought in by ambulance due to the crash, but it is allowing walk-ins.
And dash cam footage shows the breathtaking moments that a car flipped across the highway during a snowstorm. Look at this video. An ambulance crew in Massachusetts were taking a patient to the hospital when a sedan traveling in the opposite direction on I-95 rolled into the path of the ambulance. The crew managed to avoid the collision, then pulled over to help. The driver of that sedan, amazingly, was not hurt. The ambulance crew continued to the hospital with their patient. No word on any charges. And police in New York are investigating an accident involving a snowplow and a pedestrian. It happened Tuesday night in Rochester, New York. Officers there say the snowplow hit the woman and kept going. Police eventually stopped the driver about a mile away and are trying to determine if he knew that he struck her. Investigators believe she was running in and out of the roadway when that incident happened. Police say the driver is cooperating.
Super Bowl 58 set a record for the most watched game in Super Bowl history, but that wasn't the only record set in Las Vegas this weekend. The Transportation Security Administration says nearly 104,000 people went through Harry Reid International Airport in Vegas on Monday. The busiest hour Monday morning between 5 and 6 a.m. when more than 7,700 people were scanned.
And Travis Kelce admits that pushing Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and shouting in his face during the Super Bowl was unacceptable. It happened after Reid took Kelce out of the game in the first half. Visibly angry, Kelce pushed Reid so hard that he momentarily lost his balance and then continued to shout in his face. Kelce was eventually pulled away by a teammate. Reid, he laughed off the incident following the Chiefs' victory over the 49ers and later told Kelce that he loves his passion.
Oh, no hard feelings today, only good vibes as hundreds of thousands of screaming Chiefs fans are lined up in the streets of Kansas City right now. This is a live look as the team celebrates its third Super Bowl championship parade in 5 years. We have good weather for it, too. The festivities began at the top of the hour with this parade. It will culminate downtown with a rally at the Union Station there. Temperatures are in the 60s there, so that crowd is expected to exceed 1 million people out there. You see the buses just packed up. I wonder how many folks are there waiting to see if Taylor Swift will show up for that before she heads to Australia for her tour. But oh, that's a live look and a party just happening there. Elizabeth Gardner, meantime, is outside having her own party on the patio right now. And we have pretty nice weather here, too, Elizabeth.
I am having a party, and I got a place right here, Jeff, where you'd like to be having a party at the golf course. There are a few people out there. I'll tell you what, the sun obviously moves a lot during the day, and just a few minutes ago, this spot was in the sun, and it felt really nice. Now it's in the shade. So out there in the sun here at Southern Pines Longleaf Golf and Family Club, I can promise you it feels really good. Now, it's not as windy as it was yesterday, but there's still just a little bit of a breeze out here that I'm feeling, and in the shade, it definitely feels cool. But look at that, 57 degrees. I mean, that's not bad at all. Our dew point is 28. That means that it's nice and dry out. Our temperature will climb up to around 60 for this afternoon. But a lot of folks will be out and about during the evening. I mean, of all the evenings in the year, this is an evening where people are out to dinner. So temperatures will drop into the 40s. Probably going to want to grab a jacket if you're headed out to dinner. Let's take a look at current temperatures. It's 52 up in Roxboro, 59 in Fayetteville, 58 Goldsboro, 58 in Rocky Mount. It's pleasant out there right now. And this afternoon, we'll hit around 60 in Raleigh for the high, about 59 in Durham, and around 62 in Fayetteville. How about the warmest high temperature we've ever seen for Valentine's Day? It was 78, set back in 1949. The coldest was minus 2, set back in 1899. That's a cold one. The coldest on record ever was minus 5, so that's cold. Record snow was 6 inches in 1913. I love the sound of that, but not everybody does. And I think especially on Valentine's Day, when people want to be out and about, it's nice to have the sunshine and the quiet conditions, that's for sure. Not as windy as it was yesterday. Again, as I mentioned, it is just a little bit on the breezy side out there. We have high pressure that's sitting just to our south. You can see that high near Atlanta. That is sliding eastward at this point. That will continue to move eastward and help to actually warm up our temperatures over the next day or two. And then eventually we have a low pressure system that'll come through and bring us a chance of some rain for Saturday. We're going to talk more about that coming up in just a little while. Temperatures, you can see in blue, they're a little below normal. We'll see a little bump up toward the end of the week with the yellow color contours. And then it's blue again after Saturday's front comes through. It's going to turn a little cooler. So we have a little roller coaster ride going on with our temperatures, which is very normal for late winter, early spring. We tend to see a lot of fluctuation in our temperature. 55 is our normal high. We'll be 66 on Thursday and 51 on Sunday. Again, if you're headed out, let's talk about our temperature outlook really quick. For the 19th through the 23rd, we're looking at near normal temperatures. If you're headed out with your Valentine for this evening, 52 at 6 o'clock and 47 at around 8 p.m. Again, Saturday looks like the next big event that we're watching. It's not going to be a huge event for us. Just a little bit of patchy rain. I'll show you the timeline for that and how much we could see coming up.
And we're following some breaking news here in the W Area Live Center. Sky 5 over the scene of a crash that was the result of a police pursuit. There you can see the heavy police and law enforcement presence. Wake County Sheriff's deputies are on the scene. The Highway Patrol there, firefighters as well. We've been monitoring police radio traffic since we came on the air at the top of the hour. And from what we've been able to gather, this chase started somewhere in Bladen County, made its way to Johnston County. And now you see here in Southeast Wake County, that's the car that crashed. It happened on Poole and Carver Street in Southeast Raleigh. We're, of course, working to find out why authorities were chasing the driver of this car and what charges that person could face and whether or not that person was injured as a result of what you see here. Again, that's the car that crashed that police are surrounding right now. But we'll come back and have more on this story as our news continues here on WRAL.
Some charcuterie meat sold at Aldi's, Publix, Costco, and Sam's Club could make you sick. The Agriculture Department has recalled charcuterie meat containing kappa. Fratelli Beretta produces the ready-to-eat meat packages, but it's sold under different names. The USDA issued the recall over concerns of salmonella contamination. If you have this product, you want to throw it away or return it for a refund. Lyft is expanding a safety feature across the nation. The feature allows women and non-binary users to be paired with drivers or riders with the same identity as their profile. Lyft introduced the feature after drivers filed several lawsuits claiming unsafe work environments. The feature does not guarantee the pairing, but increases the likelihood based on availability. Riders and drivers must opt in to that feature.
The creator of the Pop-Tart has died at 96 years old. Post's family says it happened on Saturday. A movie starring Jerry Seinfeld is set to come out in May about Post's journey to invent the Pop-Tart. In his obituary, Post credited his team and God with the creation of the famous breakfast treat. He leaves two children, several grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And as we had to break, you are looking live at images from Sky 5 right now over the scene in Southeast Raleigh. This is in Bladen County. We're hearing there was a police pursuit. Police are on the scene right now. We are continuing to follow the details. We'll bring you as much as we know, as soon as we know it. And as we had to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The Durham Public School Board Chair and the new interim superintendent hosted a press conference this morning talking about next steps in the salary issue for classified employees.
That interim superintendent is Caddy Moore, who served in Wake County for years before joining Durham. WRAL's Monica Casey was in the room this morning for that conversation. Monica, what came out of it?
Well, Interim Superintendent Caddy Moore emphasized this role for her is temporary and her focus is on guiding Durham through this salary issue. The school board is expected to make some kind of final decision on this at their regularly scheduled meeting next Thursday. With protests closing schools four times in the last month, the question of makeup time is now coming up. Superintendent Moore says all districts have requirements around the hours of instruction needed each year. She says many have banked time to account for unexpected days off, but Durham is rapidly running out.
We're not there yet, but we will be if we have additional school closures. We will need to look at days that right now are scheduled to be student holidays or staff holidays, and we will need to look to see whether or not those need to be student days.
Moore says the district is right on the edge with 1 or 0 days left. All schools were closed this Monday and last Friday. 12 were closed 2 weeks ago and 7 were closed 1 week ago. Some students have missed more school than others because of those numbers. Classified staff are calling for the district to keep paying them at the rate they were receiving late last year. The school board chair, Bettina Umstead, said at today's meeting that is not sustainable financially. Bettina Umstead did emphasize, though, the goal for the school board is to make sure all of those classified staff are getting some kind of raise over what they were making last year. Jeff?
Some tough decisions ahead in a couple of different spots there. Monica Casey, live for us in Durham. Thank you.
And we continue to follow breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. I want to take you right to these live pictures courtesy of Sky 5 over this crash scene there in Southeast Raleigh. This is Poole Road and Carver Street. You see that car wrapped around that pole there. This was the result of a police pursuit, and we've been monitoring the radio traffic from law enforcement since we came on the air at the top of the hour. And from what we've been able to ascertain, this chase started somewhere in Bladen County, made its way to Johnston County, and then, of course, ended here with this crash. In Wake County. Again, this is Poole Road and Carver Street. Just a short time ago, about maybe 5 minutes ago, we saw the person who appeared to be the driver of this vehicle being loaded onto a stretcher and into an ambulance. That person reportedly being taken to the hospital for treatment at this point. So many questions surrounding this scene right now. We're trying to find out exactly why law enforcement was chasing this guy in the first place and exactly what led up to this chase. As soon as we get any new information, we keep you updated here in the WRAL Live Center.
Pro-Palestinian activists are turning up the pressure on Raleigh City Council to issue a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. This was the scene at last night's council meeting where they held paper hearts bearing the names of children killed in Gaza. As the night pressed on, they took over the meeting with chants.
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now!
Y'all, we can't keep the meeting going if you guys chant.
And the council chose to go into recess as the protesters continued to chant and sing. Demonstrators stayed in the chambers for about 30 more minutes before marching out. Supporters read a joint statement from 41 organizations expressing frustration that the council has refused to vote on a ceasefire resolution.
A juvenile is in custody after a chase that ended in a crash in Raleigh. Highway Patrol troopers say it started just before 10 last night. The driver crashed on Sumner Boulevard near Triangle Town Boulevard. Three people jumped out of the car and ran. The juvenile was found near the woods near Triangle Town Center. Police are still looking for the other two people.
Students at UNC Pembroke held a vigil for a former student who was killed in a shooting near campus. Last night, students and family members gathered to honor 19-year-old Khalil Alford. He was shot at an apartment complex across from the school last Wednesday. Khalil was described as a good person who was an inspiration to others. Some family members shared stories and talked about the effects of gun violence.
Don't ever think this is the way to end the argument. because you got to know that you're hurting somebody's family. You're ending your own life when you choose to pull out a gun to take someone else's. You'll never live in peace, Lord. You'll never live in peace.
So far, no arrests have been made.
If you're depending on a rideshare service for transportation for your Valentine's Day date, you better have a plan B in place. Thousands of drivers for Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash are going on strike. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the reasons behind today's one-day strike.
This could really impact people if they're planning to take an Uber or a Lyft to a Valentine's Day date night later tonight. But earlier today, this could impact folks at the airport. So I just checked my Uber app. It actually looks like there could be an Uber that's 3 minutes away. So we're not seeing as much of an impact at the moment, but it could happen later. Uber drivers gathered at RDU yesterday preparing for today's strike. This group will join thousands of other drivers who work for Lyft and DoorDash. They're all demanding better pay.
You pick up someone that's outside the airport from Durham. You take him for 92 miles for $46.25. That's a joke.
In a statement to WRAL, Uber appears to downplay the impact of the strike. They say the vast majority of drivers are satisfied, and U.S. drivers make $33 per utilized hour. And Lyft says it's working to improve the driver experience. They say drivers earn at least a 70% rate of weekly rider fares after internal fees. We also reached out to DoorDash. They didn't respond to our request for comment. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News at RDU.
Had a good start to our Valentine's Day, but how are the littlest among us celebrating? Just look at some of these adorable outfits. These are some of the babies at UNC Hospital's neonatal intensive care unit. They're decked out in their Valentine's colors, hearts, kisses. Little Cupids are so cute. The hospital says these babies, they hope that these babies' little faces can spread some joy for everyone.
So cute. All right, well, just ahead for us, forget trying to remember your passcode. Soon you could just need your body. We'll explain what concerns experts have.
Also, artificial intelligence is getting smarter. The new feature coming to ChatGPT. We'd love to connect with you online, so follow WRAL on Facebook to join the conversation.
A storm uncovered a mysterious shipwreck in Canada. Experts say the wreck is about 200 years old, but the exact age and origin are unknown. Now a storm expected to hit the Canadian coast this evening could destroy the piece of history. Climatologists say the shipwreck is part of a wider phenomenon where climate change-fueled storms are uncovering underwater history.
You'll soon be able to tell ChatGPT to remember what you tell it. OpenAI is testing new memory controls for some users. For example, you could tell ChatGPT that you're allergic to peanuts, and it will store and apply that information to future conversations. Right now, when you talk to ChatGPT, it forgets everything when the conversation is over. It's designed that way for privacy reasons. Passwords could be getting phased out for body scans. According to the Wall Street Journal, biometrics experts say companies can use facial recognition to open anything from a parking garage to a work computer. The new technology would replace a badge or a password, but it could also cause concerns with data usage. Security experts say biometric data provides convenient logins and adds protection for companies.
Coming up, a new app for singles hopes to bridge the conversation between love and finances. But in order to join, you have to meet one specific criteria.
Plus, new video reveals how climate change is impacting polar bears. Why experts say spending more time onshore could be detrimental. Oh, it's a great day to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan. This is a live look right now from high above their victory parade. Super Bowl champs, third time in 5 years. 60-degree temperatures are expecting a million people out there, and I would not doubt it by the looks of that. People are up on the rooftop looking down on that. Look at them filling the streets there as the parade goes by. Awesome.
Well, the day of love is here, but a growing number of people are choosing self-love over affection from a romantic partner.
That's because a lot more people are reporting growing frustration with the dating scene, like not finding quality suitors, wanting to prioritize other factors like their careers. Krista Mayo takes a closer look at the rise in Americans choosing to be single.
While Valentine's Day usually involves showing affection to your love interest or romantic partner, the latest data from the Census Bureau shows a growing number of people are actually embracing the single life.
Nearly half of American adults are unmarried. 28% of U.S. adults live alone. That's actually the most common household, having jumped ahead of the nuclear family.
This trend is especially gaining traction among younger generations.
Pew Center reveals, their studies reveal, that 25% of millennials will never marry.
Peter McGraw of the University of Colorado Boulder has been studying this rise, but says not all singles are the same.
The first type I call someday singles. These are people who are looking for their person. They're looking for the one. Dating culture is fraught. And these people in many ways are sort of waiting kind of hopelessly.
But according to McGraw, more people are falling under the no-way singles category.
These are people who are not looking for dating or romance, whether it be for now or forever. Pew Center finds that half of American singles are not looking for casual dates or a romantic relationship at the moment.
Meanwhile, McGraw says feeling secure with yourself and owning your independence could help strengthen the connections you have with friends and family.
It actually makes the relationships that you have a lot healthier, in a sense, because you're not relying on this person to fill a void in your life.
That's Krista Mayo reporting. Now, on the flip side, there is a new dating app for singles. It wants to help people connect. In order to join, though, users need to give their credit score and have to have a credit score 675 or higher. The app is named Score. It's available for a limited time. Users won't be able to see other people's credit scores or ranking. The creators of the app hope to bridge the conversation between finance and dating. Those denied access to the app will receive resources on how to improve their credit score.
Oh, we are scoring with the weather today for Valentine's Day. Beautiful sunshine and blue skies. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is on the WREL weather patio out there. And what's the forecast going to be tonight for all the lovers heading to dinner?
Oh, it's going to be nice. We're going to continue to see the clear skies. It's a touch breezy out here right now, but it feels nice. If you're in the sun, it feels especially nice. But we're going to see clear skies. It'll be dropping into the 40s if you're going to be out around, say, 7 or 8 o'clock. We're looking at some nice, mild conditions as we get into the rest of the week. Tomorrow looks nice in the mid-60s, and Friday will be near 60 degrees. But we get to Saturday, and we are looking at the potential for a few isolated showers. The models continue to trend drier and drier for Saturday. So that's good news if you have plans to be outside. All across our viewing area, we're seeing sunshine and pleasant conditions. We'll take a look at the wind here. The steady wind is on the left. Our wind is coming out of the west northwest right now at 13 miles per hour in Fayetteville. It's 11 in Clinton, 13 in Goldsboro. And then on the right side, that's where the wind gusts are. So we're gusting up to 18 in Rocky Mount. We're gusting to 17 in the Triangle and 23 up in South Hill. So it's not as windy as it was yesterday, but it's still a little breezy. We'll likely see that again tomorrow as well, as we see another system starting to get closer to us. Let's take a look at that system now. High pressure is sitting just to our south, just in Atlanta right now. That's what's going to bring us the sunshine for today and for tomorrow. But you can see that low that's sitting just to the northwest, back to, say, north of Denver, if you will, northeast of Denver. That's going to start swinging our way, and we're going to begin to feel the potential for a little bit of light rain on Saturday, and then it'll move through pretty quickly. This is Futurecast. We'll start right around lunchtime. We're going to see that warm front moving across us. That'll bring us some cloud cover during the day on Friday and bring us temperatures in the 60s. And then we have a cold front that'll slide through. This is going to be midnight Friday night into early Saturday morning. We'll pause it at 6 a.m. Just a little bit of patchy light rain. That front moves on by. The rain ends by lunchtime. And we'll end up most likely with some snow showers in the mountains out of the system. There's going to be some colder air right behind it. And so if you were thinking about trying to sneak in a ski weekend, this weekend looks pretty good for it. They should have some fresh snow up there on Saturday, and the temperatures should be nice and cool Saturday and Sunday. We take a look at the amount of rainfall that we will see here out of this system. It is minimal. We're talking about not even a tenth of an inch. Just a few hundredths is all we'll likely see, and it is only a 20% chance. We take a look at how much rain we need, and we do need it. Those dark orange areas are where we've only seen about 15 to maybe 30% of the normal rainfall for the last month. It's a little bit better west of Raleigh, where it's anywhere from about 40 to 60% of the normal rainfall. Folks back to in the mountains are looking just fine. They've seen plenty of rain in the last month, but it is starting to dry out here in central and eastern North Carolina. And what we see over the weekend is not going to help that at all. Enjoy this Valentine's Day. It is sunny out here. Looks beautiful. Just a little breezy with a high of around 60. Warmer tomorrow at 66. And then we have that small chance of a shower Saturday. Sunday's going to be a pretty cool day at 51. But then our temperatures rebound quickly into the 60s by next Tuesday.
Certainly. Tomorrow looks great. Elizabeth, thank you. Your top stories are still ahead here on WRAL.
And here's a look at your winning Mega Millions numbers. Good luck.
Live look at our WRL Fountain Plaza right there as we see sunshine outside. We're in the mid-50s, upper 50s in some areas, headed for 60 possibly. Tomorrow even better, 66 and sunny on the way. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A Wake Forest man is charged with stabbing his sister to death and seriously injuring his mother. 20-year-old Edmund Eady Jr. is now charged with murder and assault with a dangerous weapon with intent to kill. Police say the stabbings happened at the family's home around midnight in the 3100 block of Polanski Drive. Eady is now in the Wake County Detention Center with no bond. His first court appearance is Thursday.
We have more insight from Durham Public Schools after leaders held a press conference this morning. Interim Superintendent Kati Moore emphasized this role for her is temporary. Her focus is guiding Durham through the issue. And the pressing issue right now is if students will have to make up days for the number of staff sick outs. Moore says the district is close, but it's not to the point where students will have to make up days.
Today, thousands of drivers for DoorDash, Uber, and Lyft are holding a nationwide strike. Businesses, restaurants, and travelers to and from the airport will be affected by this. Drivers are demanding better pay. We've reached out to all three companies. Only Lyft says they're working to improve the driver experience.
Wildlife biologists in Alaska are getting a firsthand look at how climate change is affecting polar bears. Researchers attached cameras to 20 bears in the western Hudson Bay for 3 years to see how bears adapted during periods of no sea ice. The bears were forced to move inland to look for food instead of hunting for prey in ice as usual. Bears also lost weight on land due to eating more berries and birds. Scientists say the polar bears are now at a risk of starvation during ice-free periods.
Our pet of the day is a sweet and adorable Torby girl who's looking for her forever home. This is Janie. She may be shy at first, but she is eager to make new friends and will quickly warm up to those who show her a little patience and love. Plus, she comes with a bonus, her sister, Zuzu. They're like peas in a pod and would love to find a home together. Janie is only a year old, but is calm and chill for her young age, and she has the most unique and stunning swirly coat. Look at her. If you'd like to meet her, you can just fill out an application form on the Cat Angels website.
Well, 42 days into the year, there have already been 206 reports of unruly airline passengers. The latest incident caught on camera with two passengers throwing fists on board a flight to Hawaii. Coming up on WRAL News at 4, what the Transportation Department is now doing to crack down on the increase of these incidents. NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL, and your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
Yes, and you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. And we leave you this noon with these live looks. Patrick Mahomes here walking down the street in Kansas City. And boy, they are having a Super Bowl parade like none other. A million people expected out there. The temperature is beautiful. Third Super Bowl win in 5 years for them. I think they've got this down, no doubt. Have a great day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.